after our technology issues.
All right. Well, welcome and our regular scheduled Village Board meeting on Monday, June 26th, 6 o'clock. If I can ask the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here. Okay. If I can ask you all, please to stand so we can say the Pledge of Allegiance. The Citizen Council. Frank and Jen, we'll wait until your zoning comes up on the agenda. It's probably zoning for. All right. So it seems the best one would be Lewis Rex. Lewis? Yes, please. I'm sorry. Yes, if you wouldn't mind. I assume he's the same. Yes, well, I'll let Matt, I mean, we do have a website that we, that you can, Matt.
So I did get a update from the builder this afternoon. The update has not been posted on the website yet, but it will be later this evening, available tomorrow morning in terms of the progress over the last couple of weeks.
Noted with construction issues and where the construction's at. Sheila.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
We just said some words that are kind of important. And they frame my comments on June. Did the Pledge of Allegiance, and at the end we said, the end of it goes, with liberty and justice. Now, you've said those words many times, but when it comes to celebrating Juneteenth, they have a special meaning, the emphasis being liberty and justice for all. Because on that date, in 1865, it was heard that people in the state of Texas weren't free, even though they had been free. And so some troops went down and gave the order, and other troops enforced the order, and we call that the Independence Day. And so we celebrate it here in River Forest. This particular year, our president of the board was there to invite and appreciate, invite our dignitaries to stand and be recognized, and appreciated the work that had gone into the work of the ad hoc committee that created this Juneteenth event. I see that near you, you have a book. And the name of that book by Annette Gordon Reed is On Juneteenth. Now, all of you know I'm a professor, but I'm not going to give you any homework. But if you would like to just take a look at that book, right? It's short, and it'll tell you something about Juneteenth that will intrigue you, so that this year you can start thinking about our next Juneteenth ceremony, our next Juneteenth event, and you can come and join us. So I'm here to thank the village for wonderful support, for some money so we could buy some refreshments, books, the people who put together the traveling museum, which was a big hit, our great vendors, minority women-owned businesses who came. And I particularly want to thank the Board of Trustees and those trustees who were able to fit us into the schedule. Our MC, Trustee Johnson, our peer leader, Trustee Bachner, our workaholic, Trustee Brennan, and our great speech maker, Trustee and President. So thank you all, and I hope to see you.
That, I think, concludes the just general public comments, and then most of them are related to the zoning. So if you don't, you up when, unless you're in a hurry, but if you're not, then sit tight, we'll get to that. Up at the elected.
I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was once colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. The Juneteenth event was really wonderful. I was very excited about how many people showed up, and really want to thank all the organizers for all the wonderful work that they did, and all the vendors that came and donated time and energy and supplies and ice cream and all sorts of good stuff. Was really proud of the Girl Scout troop who raised the flag, and the speakers definitely lit a fire in me to go forth and do, you know, what we can around equity and around the work of DE. So thank you for all of that. Also, June is Pride Month, and I have had a lot of pride this month. There's a lot of things going on in the area. I'm so happy that there are so many things being represented across all the different neighborhoods. We had in Forest Park, there, Forest Park Library on June 13th had a event called Ask a Queer Neighbor, which I was very happy to be invited to attend and speak to the panel. There was a Forest Park Pride Fest that had 8 amazing drag queens, and I don't know how they did what they did on a concrete parking lot as a stage, but it was wonderful. And again, I think that probably had maybe about twice as many people as it did last year. I'm so glad that people are really taking advantage of these opportunities. As well, I attended the Oak Park River Forest Chamber of Commerce Pride event this weekend, and over at Kettle Strings and Urban Village on Sunday, Urban Village Church had a family pride event that was really just happy about everybody really working and realizing the importance.
Hello, I attended the Greentown Conference, which was on Thursday, June 22nd, along with you, Kathy, Matt, Seth, and others. It was a really great conference. Over 400 people attended. It was focused on sustainability and equity across all C4 neighborhoods. Kathy did a great job on a panel in the morning. Matt did a great job. I heard he was a star, although I was not in your breakout session. My husband was and said it was really a great one, focused on active transportation for local communities. I really look forward to it being done again as a first-year event. I thought it was really pretty magnificent. Kudos to Triton for kicking us off, for giving us the space, and for all of the many people that attended. I walked away, you know, with a lot of great ideas on what we need to do as an area to be sustainability. It's not good enough for us to just have great practices in our own backyard. The entire area needs to do a good job in order for it truly to work, and with the end goal being reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, and hint, it's all about electrification. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Good. Just one item. Good evening, everyone. I just want to remind our next board meeting is until July the 10th, so I want to wish everybody a great Independence Day, and please be safe.
Nothing new to add. Thanks.
We got new.
I don't know how. There are now. It lights up more. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi. It does feel like we haven't been here in a while.
Yeah.
So it's good to be back and see everybody. As Erica said, there's been a lot going on with Pride Month and celebrating Juneteenth. And I wanted to thank everyone who organized the raising of the Pride flag here at Village Hall earlier in the month. And then also acknowledge the, as Sheila and Erica said, the beautiful flag raising for Juneteenth that we had here at the library in conjunction with the Village. Thank Matt again for his support with that. Kathy for speaking, Ken for Sheila for doing a fabulous presentation. I don't know if she's still here. And the whole fire department led by Chief Gardner, who helped with the actual flag raising. One difference between this year and last year is that we had so many more, Erica, as you mentioned, so many more students involved, and that was one of our goals. We had a whole Girl Scout troop. And then with Ken's help, we got student participation from Trinity, OPRF, and Fenwick, which was awesome. So looking forward to doing that again next year. And then I also worked with the Traveling Juneteenth Museum, helping to set that up at a couple other events this year, the Juneteenth and Wellness Festival at Rush Oak Park. They had a Juneteenth event at the River Edge Hospital and at Dominican University's Juneteenth event also. And lastly, I just wanted to ask, as I pretty much always do, did we invite Lake and Lathrop to come to our meeting? We have a couple residents who specifically have asked for an update on the project with particular questions about safety of the sidewalks and progress. As we all have those questions too, but we hear from residents tonight. So if you could just let us know, Matt.
Yes, I have invited Quick and Lake and Lathrop and asked for an update as well, and that was provided this year. Leave. I always have that as a stand invite for.
Well, I would ask that we do ask them to come in person. They're a partner with us in this project. I specifically am asking that we invite them to come to our village board meeting.
I think we have.
And that's why that's what I asked again tonight.
Yeah. Correct. We have. I would have to double check on my last email last week about specifically coming to this meeting, but I have.
Thank you.
I'll just keep mine brief. I had the opportunity, as we mentioned, to participate in both the Pride flag raising and the Juneteenth flag raising, and I'm just happy to see so much diversity in our community. There's a lot more to come. The committee is doing major things, so that's be on the lookout for that. And just want to thank everyone that participated in both events. You know, it's something that community can really benefit from, just being surrounded by a diverse culture just raises everyone's level, and I just appreciate this community for participating in that, and that's all.
Yeah.
Again, I apologize for missing the last meeting, but I did want to extend my personal to who worked on the Memorial Day Parade, and do a shout out to Matt on Madison Street. It's coming down. There's no dust flying. Seems like everybody's okay with it, and hopefully that'll be wrapped up shortly, I think. So congratulations, Matt. And then just a friendly reminder, it's vehicle sticker time, so please make sure you get over here and get your vehicle stickers.
I did want to just add to mine, because I can't believe I was thinking that we had already had a board meeting, because I'm so
No worries.
I did want to thank everybody who was involved in the Pride flag raising here at the Village Hall, and for the coordination between the school district, the village itself, and also the township. There were over 350 people who came to that flag raising, and then the Pride and Inclusive parade that went around Lincoln School. And unfortunately, I was not able to attend. I got live streams from friends because I was sick. So I spent my time during that counting how many people were there from photos and things. So it was really wonderful to the village staff. And
it has been a little over 30 days or a good month that since we last met, so no worries. Yeah, I just I want to start off with the Juneteenth flag raising. I was honored and privileged part of it. Sheila has been at our podium, I can't umpteen times, talking about how the importance of this. And there is no doubt, as I look across all the trustees and the clerk and the staff, that we are committed, completely committed to that event and make it bigger and better. And it was a proud moment, I think, for our village to be part of that. And I want to thank Trustee Johnson for emceeing, of course, Brennan, who I think played quarterback on all of it, which it came off, you know, with much for all your efforts, Katie, and Ken, you being part of it, and of course, Erica, being part of it. I know it's very hard because during the day for everybody to show up, but I do know everybody around this table is committed to that event and making it bigger and better next year. So thank you, Sheila. And this book is awesome. She gave a great, she's a great professor. She gave a great explanation of what happened back in 1865, and 2 years before that. So thank you. I want to just echo what Lisa said, not necessarily about me, but Greentown was a smashing hit.
Again, not everyone can go because it's during the day, but I would say if you're into climate change and you're into environmental justice and equity, next year you got to go. This is really something to see. We had well over 500 people in attendance, but what was so amazing is that we had over 100 youth in attendance, and they gave three young adults gave speeches around why youth is important in the effort to manage climate change. And it was just very moving. I don't know what else to say. It's just the word that comes to mind. So Greentown was great. So thank you, Lisa, for being there. And Rick, again, next year, please attend. I also had the opportunity to accept an award on behalf of the Village of River Forth and our C4 group, which is called Cross Community Climate Collaborative, which was a creation that Vicki Skaman, the president of Oak Park, Katrina Thompson, the mayor of Broadview, and myself got together. And we already won an award from the Mayor's U.S. Conference of Mayors, American Beverage Foundation gave $125,000 to the C4 group. And we did it again, although this is a slightly smaller one. It's $15,000, but we were the lead. River Forth was the lead recipient, and they really did a very nice write-up on River Forth and our not only our involvement with C4, but our commitment to climate change. So we'll post this on our website somehow, maybe Matt, and you get a chance to get up there and read it. It's really a cool award. Very proud to accept it on behalf of the village. I also attended a cocktail, I guess, the reception at Exit Strategy for the Leadership Lab, which is a project under the Oak Park River Forest Community Foundation. I think all of you are alumni. I think most of you. It's a great project, and it helps provide, thought leadership to leaders. And most of our trustees and myself actually led Leadership Lab at one point in time. And it's a wonderful a group of people that get together and, you know, learn, I think, things that are real interesting for thought leadership. So, and then I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to our wonderful staff, our chief of police, all of our staff, Rosie, Jeff, Tom, everybody that drove cars, Trish, that drove cars, rolled up those crazy reusable, bags. I know you did 1,000 of them, so I can't tell you. All of us are so appreciative. It was a ton of fun. Our residents love it. That's the biggest event we have in the whole year, and you made it really, really special. So thank you, and, of course, it was led by Matt. And I want to also echo what Bob just said about managing the Madison. I think it's going very well, and I want to thank Matt for it. It's a lot of work. We threw him in as a new administrator, and he's doing an awesome job. So so thank you, Bob, for mentioning that too. So that's all I have. So we'll go ahead and get work. Okay, so we'll move on to the consent agenda. And if I can please get a motion and a second to move consent agenda items A through J.
I'd like to make a motion, please. I'm sorry, excuse me. I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through J.
Any comments? I was just getting. Okay. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll ask the clerk to please read each of those items and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, May 22nd, 2023. B, Village Board of Trustee Executive Session Minutes, May 22nd, 2023. Financial Report, May 2023. Accounts Payable, May 2023, $2,487,070.06. E, Administration Department Report. F, Monthly Department Reports. G, Water Main Design Contract, Gewalt Hamilton Associates, $24,436. H, Intergovernmental Agreement, IDOT, North Avenue Improvements. I, Fiscal Year 2024 Annual Operating and Capital Budget Amendment Ordinance. J, Approval of a Contract Amendment with Vera Mobility. Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Okay, great. So we'll move on to recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. So that was pretty fast. So I guess, Mark, do you want to – well, first of all, let me do a motion, and then we'll second it, and then ask Mark and maybe the residents to come to the podium. Okay, so if I can get a motion.
Go ahead. Move to approve an ordinance granting the required variations to sections 10-8-7, 10-9-5, and 10-9-7 of the zoning code at 7616 Vine Street.
Second.
Okay. Mark, do you want to say anything, or is this pretty straightforward, or regarding the variance, or is there any trustees have? Mark is the.
Actually, I'm just here to answer any questions if you wanted any clarification, and so is Felipe, the resident.
Right. Yeah. Is there any questions do you want Mark to go through anything or?
I do have a question. I have a question on it with regard to what sort of water mitigation will be done, given that the request is for a larger footprint than.
Actually, we're not changing the footprint at all.
You're not?
The existing footprint to remain.
Okay.
And the footprint does not exceed the permitted of site coverage by the village. So we're not increasing the footprint at all.
Thank you for that. I appreciate the clarification.
Okay. Okay, I'm hearing no other further questions. I'll ask the clerk to take the vote on this.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so we have item 7B. If I can get a motion in a second, and then we have a few residents here. Motion? This is B, 7B.
I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance granting the requested variations to sections 10-9-7, 10-9-5, and 10-9-6 of the zoning code at 7960 Chicago Avenue.
Second.
Okay. Okay, so Frank or Jen, I mean, is there anything you want to? Okay, just Q&A. Okay. I assume the trustees have read the zoning variances. If there's any questions you have of the residents, welcome.
I do have a question.
Sure, sure.
Thanks for being here. In the packet, I didn't see that there was a letter from any of your surrounding neighbors who'd be impacted by this. Did you reach out to them?
Yeah, I've spoken to all my immediate neighbors to the east, north, and west. I think they're all generally okay with the project. We had some discussion with the neighbor to the north about some of the specifics, and ultimately they're okay with it as well.
Yeah, there's no letter in the packet or to the
ZBA. Correct. Yeah, they did not opt to write a letter.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me that it's the neighbor to the north that's going to be the most impacted by reducing the setback for the garage. There's a couple water downspouts right there that are going to be right at their property line, and it's looks to me to be very close to their home.
Yeah, it's actually a good point. Regarding the downspouts, it's not in the variances, but we're putting in a storm sewer as part of this project, so all the downspouts will be tied into that, and that will drain out to the front through, I'm not a civil engineer expert, but some sort of effluent to the front there. But yeah, a great point about the stormwater. That will be tied in. The specifics that we discussed with that neighbor to the north is that we're going to construct the garage out of brick to reduce, you know, potential maintenance, because it is going to be pretty tight between the garage and the fence. We're also looking at the fence and anything we can do to shore that up to basically minimize needing to go back there and do any sort of maintenance. So those are the specifics we discussed with them, and I think we have pretty good alignment with them.
Thanks.
Yep.
And I also have a question, I think, for Matt. The ZBA on this one included all three variances in one vote, and the vote was 5-2. Chairman Martin and Commissioner Lucchese voted no. And there's nothing in the notes that explains why, so I tried to go back to hear the audio to listen to it, but the audio is not on the Village website, so I couldn't avail myself of that.
Well, I'm sorry that the audio wasn't on there. That wasn't over. In terms of the reasoning, I was not at the meeting. I think that the Raddatz, but I know Commissioner Lucchese just.
It was for that variance because there were three and you couldn't tell which one. I guess they voted no on all three.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. By that motion, which they were able to do, the board split up the other ones, as you mentioned. So that was their decision at the time.
Yeah.
Those two.
I'm concerned as well about that. How close it is. It seems from the photo that there is another structure very close to. It would be nice to know and have in these images what kind of fence is going to be put there. I'm really concerned about fire. Something that I just always, when I'm thinking about these, concerned with. So I want to ask the fire chief, I don't know if you've seen this, but a step backwards, essentially 1.5 feet, not even the roof.
Any other questions for the residents? Okay.
I guess I would say on this one, for me, I would prefer if it was broken out into three votes on the three different variances, because I have a concern about that, the back lot setback, and the fact that we don't have a note from the neighbors saying that they're okay with that variance that impacts them. I do understand that, you know, you spoke with them, but it would be really helpful to have seen that something from them that said that. So I think I would be inclined to vote no on that one, but yes on the other two.
So it's yeah. Drafted as one ordinance, and so I think the better way to do it and establish the record would be to vote on the ordinance and then trust no, but indicate the reason you would have supported two out of the three,
okay.
Just because of how it's how the it's. A,
understand. Thank you.
Would it be helpful if I gave a little bit of context on why we're pushing the garage to the north?
I did see that you wanted to have space so you could cars could turn around, and I understand that we all struggle with backing out of, you know, our driveways and not looking carefully at the sidewalks and then who's coming the street. I saw that.
Okay.
And I understood that, but nonetheless, it seemed to me that it seemed like it's really impacting that neighbor to the north. And I didn't see anything from them saying that they were okay with it.
Did they show up at all to the zoning board?
No.
No, there were no comments during the public.
I'm asking them to come. They don't come. All right, so the ordinances, then we're going to do three of them. Okay. Any further questions?
Well, yep. It would just be one.
I mean, one of them. Excuse me. All three of them is what I meant. Okay, then I'd ask the clerk to take
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
I'm voting no because of the rear yard setback issue.
All right, so good luck to you guys. All right, so we'll go on to the podium.
I move to approve an ordinance granting the requested variation to section 10-9-6 and 10-9-7 of the zoning ordinance at 559 Ashland.
Second.
Okay. The questions, we've got the residents here, right, Cheryl and Paul?
Yes.
So anybody, I'm sure you all looked at the zoning variance. If there's any questions, they're here to answer them. All right. Anything you'd like to say? Questions and want approval. I get that. All right. So, okay. Then I'd ask the clerk to take the.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Yes. Congratulations. All righty. So now we're going on to the next.
Motion to approve a resolution in support of Senate Bill 58 and further legislation reducing or eliminating the use of polystyrene foamware food waste.
Right, so this is great. There is already a House bill that got passed that prohibits, and maybe Lisa, you probably know this better than I do, but prohibits the state agencies from that's where it's limited to. There's also now a Senate Bill 58 hasn't passed it yet, but we expect in veto session, then that would be. Meanwhile, our sustainability meeting is Luke or?
No, Seth was at that meeting, but the Sustainability Commission is very interested in exploring a prohibition. So they just wanted to kind of follow the same engagement that the single-use foodware did to know and get some feedback before making recommendations.
Yeah, and I just want to, we were aware of the Senate bill. We know the House bill got passed. We were all aware of it. So, I mean.
Actually, that bill relates to state agencies and departments. It doesn't relate to anything that happens in River Forest necessarily.
Oh,
Senate Bill 58
deals with
state agencies and departments, things like the state fair, universities.
It's diverse. It's a House bill. I don't have it in front of me.
This resolution deals with SB 58, and that only relates to.
Yeah, correct. And there's also that was the reason for including that second half of the further legislation to limit that, to capture other bills that are out there. This one was just recently delivered to the governor's desk and attracted some attention. So that was the purpose of including support of that, even though it might not apply to the village per se. It's at least a step that is progressing.
I missed this. I think we need to have a resolution. Is what I think we need. Senate bill is already passed.
Senate bill is on Pritzker's desk.
Right. It's already passed. So it's the House bill that it has passed the House and not the Senate. So that's the one that we want. So, I mean, we could keep this, but I'd like to see us bring back.
Understood. Yeah, we'll have that ready for July.
I'm sorry that I didn't catch
or
today.
Could we amend this? HB.
Yeah, we need that. Let me get that.
Do you have the House bill?
Do you have the House
what
bill?
What is the House bill number?
It should
that
be
you're
like.
Right.
Oh, it's a House bill that is banning fire farm.
Well, the original House bill was HB 2376. But Harmon didn't pass that. He passed
right, the
more.
Senate didn't.
So are you talking about HB 2376?
Summarize it. That's the one that.
Well, I'm not comfortable voting on it unless we know what we're supporting. But HB 2376 was the original bill, and then they only passed a very watered down version that only dealt with state agencies.
We know that, Katie. That's what the Senate bill is. So what? There's a House bill there that did not.
2376. Correct.
Yeah. Senate's going to take that up.
So I have one proposed revision to this resolution, if we pass it, and then I also have a question for Lance, if. Good. The proposed revision that I have to this resolution is in the fourth whereas clause, and it relates to the harm that polystyrene foam products have, not just on the environment, but to human health as well. And I think it's important to include that in here. We just say, we just talk about the harm that polystyrene foam products have on the environment, but it's also a known carcinogen for humans. So I would ask that we revise that and add the words and health after environment in the fourth whereas clause.
I would add human health.
I'm fine either way. I mean, it impacts animals as well, but if, I'm fine either way.
Well, just
that.
Based on the way you said it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Includes those kind of.
Yeah, thank you for drilling down on that. And then the other question that I have for you, Lance, is there anything that keeps River Forest from passing a polystyrene ban similar to what Oak Park passed?
Well, so the only thing that would prohibit it is the fact that we are not home rule, and
right.
Oak Park is. But having said that, you know, the municipal code does give police and health powers to municipalities, and so if you're interested in that, I'd want to take a quick look at it. There are a couple different aspects of it that need to be looked at.
I know, and Lisa, you might want to speak here. And the only reason I asked that's what this is saying, what they are looking at.
But wouldn't they need our counselors' input as to whether we can pass that?
Yeah. So the answer to the question is, I think we can. But there is a difference between us and Oak Park, and that would need to be fleshed out and looked at just to make sure that we are on solid ground.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
I
guess I would ask that we do that on behalf of the Sustainability Commission.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep.
They're already doing it.
They're already looking at it. And the one thing I would just add, and this has nothing to do with this conversation, but the one thing we have to start working on is enforcement. And I know we don't want to use a stick. We want to use a carrot to get, you know, kind of all the local businesses to comply. And so I think they do need our help to, you know, ensure compliance with, you know, with the single-use plastics as well as to whatever else we might ask them to do, because it is a burden to many.
Yeah, and I think it's an advantage for River Forest to that Oak Park has already passed it, and they're our neighbor, and we shop, you know, there's a lot of intermingling between our shopping and if the businesses, and there are many more commercial businesses that this impacts in Oak Park than it does in River Forest, and if those businesses are already starting to find the ways to comply and to encourage the availability of more, you know, non-poly options, then I think it's going to be easier for the fewer River Forest businesses to also find those options
all agree. In fact, the wheels are rolling. So just to be clear that the Sustainability Commission is welcome. Yeah, very good. Thank you for being here. We'll be looking at it. And of course, we'll be talking to our legal counsel to ensure that, you know, legally or not. But the other piece is what we were just stating is that the House Bill 2376 is really encouraged to pass that because that would all non-home rule communities, including home rule. And you're right, Katie, you know, Oak Park passed it just like we passed the food where we did, the plastic foodware where we passed it first. So we all have to work together, and we are doing that.
That was going to be my question, is what's the difference to where we were able to pass the ordinance and not the...
Yeah.
State that question again.
Excuse me. So why were we able to pass a ban?
We didn't ban it.
Or
we didn't ban
don't
it.
You, the restaurants and everybody has to ask if you want single-use plastics versus...
Yeah. Well,
is it because it's a ban? Is that
no, it's the same kind of analysis. The only issue is Dillon's rule. We need to point to a specific statutory authority to enter that area. And I do think we have it. But, I mean, the question was just posed that Oak Park did it. Can we do it? And the answer is probably because I think it relates to police power and protecting health and safety on home rule.
Is that what we used for the single-use plastics?
Yes.
Didn't ban it. It was by request.
Yeah, understood.
Right.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's...
But it's the same. It comes from the same group of powers.
Yep. '76 gets passed.
So what are we doing here? So there was a motion and a second to something that's already been done. So are we pulling this?
No.
Well,
I think
we could just add the language human health to the fourth whereas, and then come back on July 10th with that additional resolution in support of that House bill, if I understand the direction.
And then just to sort of complete the analysis, what would happen if ultimately the state law became law, the House bill, then the state would have preempted the field and another way for a state to preempt, for instance, minimum wage law, for example. Not, you can't own because they...
We know. Okay, I think, is that clear, Bob? Nope. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, so the issue is, are we going to wait till we actually got the final bill on the House bill?
No, I think
Matt had pointed out that there is some language in this resolution that does point out that going beyond Senate Bill 58, and then Trustee Brennan added the suggested language to protect not only the environment but human health, and then I think the idea is then to bring a resolution to pin down exactly what's pending with the House bill that would really into the ban of it all and pass a second resolution the way it was going.
I agree with that.
Yeah, sorry for the confusion.
So it would be appropriate at this point for the original movement to amend the motion to include Trustee Brennan's modification, adding those words after environment.
Yeah.
Yes, in the fourth whereas clause, correct.
What am I doing?
I'm agreeing to the amendment.
I agree to the amendment.
A major issue.
No, it is not major.
Bob said, and Erica said. That is what
Trustee Bachner. Gillis.
Yes.
Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Sorry.
All right. All right. Let's move on to 7 a.m. Mine keeps dropping. I can't keep my either I got to get a hard copy or. All right, so let's just go move on with the board commissions and committees. Okay, so I can get a second motion and a second, and then I will.
Motion to consent to the village president's board and commission appointments for item number 7E.1 through 7E.9, effective May 1st, 2021.
Okay.
Second.
All right, so
on yeah, that should read May 1st, 2023. 20. Thank you, Trustee O'Connell.
No.
All right, ready? I'll do it even better the second time. Ready? Motion to consent to the village president's board and commission appointments for items number 7E.1 through 7E.9, effective May 1st, 2023.
Thank you.
I'll second.
You're just laughing. Yeah, I was trying to jump right into it.
Heart before the horse.
All right. So the I can go through each one of them, but I think all of these are great. Yeah. Remember, all volunteers, mm-hmm. and we try to do the best and try to get people on as best we can. And I think everyone is real eager. I've talked to every single one of these appointees, and they're very eager and very dedicated to our community. So I all agree that. Group of people. Has any particular questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
There's applications for, I think, just three of the appointees, and that must, I'm assuming that's because they're new appointees and the others are being recommended to be, continue their service, which makes sense. I would ask that we don't have to do it necessarily this time, but in the future, that for those who are being recommended to continue on commissions, that we are able to see the number of terms and years that they've served, because I think that's helpful. You know, we like to have a balance of experience and institutional knowledge is really important on our commissions, but it's also important to have fresh perspective and different opinions. And I think it helps us with the transparency to see how long someone has already served on a commission so that we can sort of make sure that we have that balance.
All of these, remember, they're all residents. They all try their best. Mm-hmm. They bring a lot of knowledge, some more than others. So, I mean, if you don't particularly like somebody, those should be then.
I absolutely agree that they're, I respect their everyone's volunteering as we are here. And actually, most of the people around this table have been on commissions. And again, as I said a minute ago, I'm not saying that we should pull any of these. I would like in the future that I think it would enhance our, the information that we have to be able to, we have got the new applications. And then if we can see for someone who's being suggested as reappointment, if we can see, how many terms and years that they've been serving already.
Sure. We can do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll yeah. take it under consideration
yeah.
now. So let's
understand.
Let's take the vote.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So let's move on to the last piece of business, which is Home Park Storm. Mm-hmm. variation request. So
make a motion to approve a variation to section 4-13-1 of the Village Code at Keystone Park.
Evening. I will make my part here short. Todd Abrams is here representing the Park District, so he'll go into a little more detail in a minute about what's going on. But by way of brief background, as you all know, I'm sure Keystone Park is under some renovation currently. One of the requirements that they have to implement at site is stormwater detention. So the northeast corner of the site, right by Lake Street and the railroad embankment, there's a kind of a carved out detention basin. And all the site stormwater will flow through that basin and through a restrictor structure. Structure is just a way of saying that the pipe gets really small as it's heading out, slows the water down, backs up into that pond. Our sewer system, water sits on site a little bit longer and slowly drains into our. Our municipal ordinance requires that that restrictor structure, which is a manhole, be constructed a certain way. Our ordinance for quite some time, and we did some ordinance revisions a few years ago, and it stayed in there. Park District is asking for a variance from that requirement. Instead of constructing the baffle wall system that is required in our ordinance, they're seeking variance to construct a plate restrictor with, I believe, a debris hood over it as well. So it's all very technical. I tried my best to kind of walk through with some pictures and just visual examples of what we're talking about, but certainly I'm going to let Todd come up and go through his bill. If you guys have any questions whatsoever, I'm sure Todd and I'll we're not.
Good evening. My name is Todd Abrams. I'm a principal engineer at WT Group. We did the civil engineering for the project. I thought Jeff did a really good job explaining the situation. I think he also included a letter in the board packet that talked a little bit about, showed some examples of the individual structures, and then also added that the structure that we're asking for a variance for has actually been installed. That's kind of a long story. But the initial design included the structure that, you know, we were requesting a variance for. I'd like to say, we're asking for a variance because the structure has been installed, but it's actually, by being allowed to install this structure, it makes the area surrounding the ball field and the batting cage a lot more usable because we can put it at a lower elevation. And it, in a sense, if we were to put in this larger baffle wall structure, it'll create a tripping hazard and make the area a little bit less usable. So in a way, this structure going in as it did really kind of improved the usability of the park and the surrounding areas. The other thing I'll add is the same amount of detention, the same water quality benefit, and then the same release rate will be provided with this structure. So all of the, you know, stormwater benefits are included. If there's any questions,
yep.
I did bring some exhibits too. I can go into a little bit more detail if like.
I just have a question as to, like, why were we putting in the other one? If, like, what's the difference in benefits between the two? Like, if the if this one is actually creates a better, you know, usability of the fields, like, why was the recommendation made to do the other one anyway? I'm just curious. I mean, it's kind of done, so there's not much we could do about it. But
it's not, I'm sorry, not necessarily a recommendation. Our code requires the baffle wall restrictor that.
Okay.
And that was what was the improved plan. Your system was not, usability wasn't necessarily a part of the review. We're talking strictly from a.
So what's the difference?
We can put in this.
No, this, what we're effectively doing is board is voting whether to permit the system that was put into place to stay there as opposed to being removed and replaced with the code mandated system.
And again, I go back to the, what is the difference between it? Like why is our code one way? Like, just what's the difference between the two?
Sure, I can answer that a little bit.
Thank you.
The baffle wall structure, it's a bigger structure, and to Todd's point, it requires just a little more space vertically and horizontally. So the area around it essentially would be more mounded just to provide the vertical space within the structure that the baffle wall requirement, you know. So from a usability standpoint, absolutely. From a maintenance standpoint, the baffle wall structure is larger. Any time you get into a restrictor structure, debris clogging it is always the concern. What happens if that restriction, that smaller hole gets clogged up? Where does the water go? When a baffle wall structure, it can build up within that structure, flow over that wall, and continue to flow out all below grade. Case where you've got a plate restrictor with just a hole in it, things are going to back up. It's going to back up into the pond. And to Todd's point, because we've had some email exchange over the last couple of weeks discussing this, there is an overland flow pattern on site, which means that if the pond, so if this restrictor is allowed to stay in place and the water continues to back up, you would notice that within the pond, because the pond would continue to build up and frankly just not drain out as quickly as it normally would. But even if it built up to the point where it was overflowing its bank is designed to kind of control that overflow through a designed area down the path and out to Lake Street. So correct me if I'm wrong. So there's still a component where there's kind of a belt and suspenders approach here, but the baffle wall structure, I assume whomever put it in the ordinance years and years ago intended it to be kind of the standard that we'd like to achieve. The park district, we know they're not going anywhere from a maintenance standpoint. They're kind of here to stay, so I'm not too concerned about that. There's just going to be a difference if that restrictor gets clogged. There's going to be a difference. I think they wouldn't, you know, treat it or figure out what the problem is and go in and unclog it kind of thing. It's just that's not something most people would see or notice if a baffle wall structure were in place.
I have another question, Jeff, and I'm not so worried about the park district, their sister agency or friend over here. So I'm not worried about them. But if this ordinance stays in place or the code stays in place, is it going to affect others? And meaning if someone takes advantage of it, or in other words, what I'm trying to say is if there's a problem with what we are asking for now, or, you know, should we change it? Or you know what I mean? Should we change the code if there's a problem or is there no problem? I'm trying to figure out what you're trying to say.
Fair enough. I would make the argument that if you said what's the ideally what kind of restrictor structure would you put in place each time, I would say a baffle wall structure. Gives you a little more room, gives you a little more room to work, maintain it, things like that. So that to me, that's still a standard that I think is worth maintaining.
Okay.
I don't think I'm not losing sleep over it. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. But if we're going to adopt a standard, good standard to have in our order.
So the path over the pond then goes in a, because, I mean, let's be honest. We spend a lot of time talking about. So what's the capacity at that point on Lake Street to take.
Already where the water's going, so it's just going to go over ground and find the next, you know, catch basin in the Lake Street curb instead of going underground from that pond to the case. It's not going to a differently than it would have flooded before. It's all going to the same place. It's just getting there in a different manner.
So with the baffle, it sounded like the water would move more quickly away, so it wouldn't pool as long, is that correct?
In the instance where the restrictor hole, so under normal conditions, case if what's been installed were in place versus a baffle wall, an ideal code required structure were in place, theoretically, to Todd's point, the restriction is the same, the outflow is the same. So if neither one of them were clogging up, both would be flowing out into the sewers in Lake Street at the same rate.
With the wall meant so that it doesn't.
In case it got clogged.
What does that mean for the synthetic ball field then? And I'm wondering if we had conversations around that and this, because I know there was a lot of around even having the synthetic ball. Not having water underneath that can be there for a long
time. We are actually providing detention for the synthetic turf field as part of this project. It was something that had to be recouped because of when we permitted the synthetic turf field, we didn't need to provide detention for it because we didn't go over a certain threshold. So this turf field is being detained. But one thing I would mention above and beyond what Jeff said, I totally agree with, is, and now I've got an exhibit. I don't know.
Yeah, but where are the synthetics? Yeah, so there must be some reason because they had to include detention. Is there any way that we can enhance this so that add something to it so we're adding something, even, you know, missing out on this fact?
I would say we are getting an area that park patrons are going to be able to use. There's not going to be I'll show you, maybe if I show you one of
right, but there's a reason
so
for
it's
it.
Cleaner looking.
So Bob said something a minute ago that we talk a lot about water here, and I think we've learned that our climate's getting wetter and wetter. We're expecting more rainfall, and we've got a ball field or a park that now has one synthetic field, and I wouldn't be surprised if the park district wanted to add more synthetic surface area. And the synthetic surface area does not absorb the water the way a natural field would, and so that creates more water runoff. This device is already in, and so you're asking for a variance to allow the device to stay. if we find that it's not working the way it should and that we're having more runoff, can we get an agreement from the park district to change it out to make it for the more optimal baffle?
So the only caveat I would add to that is that, again, under ideal conditions, as long as maintenance weren't an issue, to operate no differently than required structure. So if there's no debris getting in there, clogging up the plate restrictor that has been installed already, the village is not losing out on anything. It's not providing less detention. It's not providing more water into the sewer system. Stormwater detention, the rate of release, all the things that would adversely impact the village's infrastructure, not being affected. The only concern that I would have down the road is maintenance, if that plate restrictor were to get clogged. In that case, again, things get wonky, but a baffle wall restrictor could still get clogged as well. The overflow just, again, is still underground. You don't see it. There isn't much of a tangible difference in terms of getting something, forgiving something. The village isn't really losing anything, structure being left to remain safe. It's just not as ideal as what the ordinance requires.
So, Jeff, I mean, in your professional opinion, I mean, you've given us both, what the pros and cons of it. What would you, are you recommending that we provide the variance because it seems to be, first, it gives the park district what they need, and secondly, it doesn't adversely affect the village-wide water detention issue.
Yeah, and I valid points about the mounding around those, the structure lids would create a bit of an undulation near the sidewalk area. So, kids walking off the sidewalk might stumble over that. That could be problematic. So there is some kind of offset benefit to leaving the structure in place. Again, my only concern from a professional point is ongoing maintenance. And so I don't disagree, Trustee Brennan, with, if this is a problem, then down the road, I would defer to the village attorney on how that all works. But the qualifier I would add is that it's not if we notice we're getting more runoff than other situation. There's no way we're going to know that. The project's designed the same way. It's a matter of if we see the pond continuously overflowing at grade, then maybe we would require a different structure to be put in, because if the pond continues to overflow at grade, that means that the current structure is constantly getting clogged and not maintained. That would be the only circumstance where I do think that approach would be.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I was just going to say one thing, though. Also, wouldn't another reason why it might overflow is because the pipe isn't big enough?
But the restrictor that's going into it is even smaller than that. Mm-hmm. So by design, it is supposed to back up.
Yeah. Right, right.
To back up, but those are going to be very rare instances where that would occur.
So, Mike, you're here. Maybe you can, Mike Grant, president of the Park District. Maybe you could address this. As Jeff said, the main issue that he has, from his professional opinion, is the maintenance of this and the clogging of it. So, what kind of, and I know you have to talk to your board, but what kind of commitment can the park district give us that this is going to be regularly maintained, or if it for any reason it can't be maintained, that we have to look at an alternative?
Jeff, can you give him the microphone?
Yeah,
because otherwise it's not recorded.
No, it's Mike. Yeah, well, yeah. They can hear it. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
I repeat?
Yes, please.
Okay. The park district staff and the board are committed to making sure that the technology that's in place, staff will get it. The swale that we were required to put in that wasn't there before will be used to take runoff of that park.
and the tennis courts and the swale. That swale is mostly taking runoff and from the tennis courts. That used to be when the old tennis courts were in place. That won't be there anymore. The swale and the technology that's there will slowly put that water in the storm system. I doubt we were talking about runoff of that swale. That thing is so huge. Oh, but I doubt that that thing would ever come near overflowing the edge. The softball field is a different drainage system than that swale and tennis court area.
I think what was the, and it, yeah, but I don't know if we're gonna want to debate that because we're assuming you're building something that manage a water event. I think the question becomes: will the park district agree on this variance that you will maintain it? I don't know, Jeff, what the word might be. Maintain it in such a condition that
Jeff has had discussions with staff already.
Okay. So, should we put that in?
Is that true? You've had discussions?
Yeah, we need to know.
So I've expressed the concern. I mean, I think it would be appropriate if that is a concern of you all as well, to if you're thinking of approving it, to perhaps approve it conditional upon the fact that, you know, in the instance that the village finds it necessary to replace the structure for the reasons we've stated. And I don't know what the trigger is, if we enter into a conversation or if we can just outright require it down the road. Of condition upon the approval.
So I would phrase the condition as a condition that the park district regularly maintain the structure. That way, if it's not being regularly violated, and then we'd have to take action based on that.
When incidents and
sure.
a huge
range. What is
that's not regular?
And regular, you know, it would be. It would behoove the village, if you're thinking of approving the variance, and I'm not advocating that we don't, but to if there's a way to, you know, condition it upon in the determination of the village, if this becomes a problem that we determine to require a resolution, that the village can require it be replaced. I mean,
we can put that language in. In reality, it would involve negotiation code anyway, because the park district, you know, without some sort of a court resolution, to that, it's going to have to be resolved somehow, but that language could be put in. I just think, to your point, Jeff, the point about what we're dealing with a fellow unit of local government is an important caveat from a different situation, and that, you know, that they have their own system, they're elected as well, and they have and you know, the village board, although it has the authority to require them to put in certain structures, it also has the obligation to consider a variation where it's in furtherance of some public purpose that moving toward, and the safety of the people that use the park is an appropriate way to give some ability there, I think. But I think that, you know, a condition in place that the park district, you know, agrees to do regular maintenance, and of course it's public property, so the village can go inspect it once, schedule anything, or give reasonable notice. You just walk on there and look at it and see if this is properly. It'd be subject to the same enforcement action if it wasn't.
Yeah. Maybe just add that. Clean it.
So, as the motion reads now,
yep.
Variance for just this one particular spot, or is it all of Keystone Park?
It's just specific to the installation, yes.
So, Lance, what would you recommend? Here, I think, kind of kept.
To approve a variation to section 4 code at Island Park for the restricted structure at issue on the park district, providing regular inspections and maintenance of the structure to assure that it's functioning at required capacity. Does that language work?
That's something you would have to check on. I mean,
I think the park district has already indicated they've committed to that.
All right, well then.
Well, I have something, and this is just to get it off my chest. I don't know how we got here again. This is at least the second time that I've been on this board that a group, an organization, or someone has come forward and said, I'd like a variance on some work that I've already done. Where did we miss this? So what goes on with the inspection? You know, this board is now going to have a reputation as if you put it in, you go and plead your case in front of the board, they're going to let it go, and there's no repercussions on it. Not picking on the park district, because I think what the work they've done out there, if you've gone over there, it looks beautiful, it's going to be great and everything, but there's something missing here. So I'd like to know what it is, and you don't have to answer it today.
No, I think it's a good question.
I'd like to know, because, I'm going to go put a five-story garage up, and then I'm going to come back and say, I spent a lot of money on this. We just figure out what's going on with this stuff.
Sure. Yes, thanks. Absolutely. I think that's a very fair point. I think that's part of the reason why staff wasn't comfortable discovered that this installation did not meet the plan. Staff did not feel comfortable against our recommendation and the approved plan. That's why it's before the board here as that kind of stopgap to prove the board doesn't as the need to approve that variation and can stick to the village code. But we'll certainly revisit to make sure that our inspections capture that in the future.
Well, I think better yet, I think what capturing, I think it's almost elevating it to this board. What I was saying is if you find that, something's happened and it's going on, then elevate it to the board. And we could get Mike, would have to stop you and, restart. We knew that it was happening.
Yes.
Okay. So, anyway, that's where we're at, though, Bob. So, we have. We kind of put stipulations as Jeff and in it, and if not, then.
Agree with Bob's comments, and that's one of the reasons why I'm.
We got there, but we're here. That's so. I mean, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we could. I don't think that. Unless you felt like you tried and.
Tell you what, I'm sorry.
Well, where you thought it went wrong, and where we,
Yeah, I can provide a little background. I mean, on a project like this, and larger project, the Lake and Lake World, the village aren't out there 8 hours a day watching everybody building a house. We come in, we do one rough framing inspection off. Hey, you need to fix this, or if it's requirements, you don't have a choice, or you need to go seek a variance for it. We have internal stopgap or intermittently out there. We just phases of construction. Try to catch these things as they occur immediately on all sites throughout town that are under construction would require a lot more staffing.
Do we provide them a checklist? Like, there are things that, you know, the developer, the contractor, do they get a checklist to say, if you're going to do these things, these are things that you have
on the approved plans? I mean, ultimately, sometimes you go through 2, 3, 5 iterations of, here are the plans. No, there you have to change these things. Here are the updated plans. No, you have to change those things. And at the end of the day, you get one set of approved plans from the village, and that's the approved set. So anything that deviates from that is just not approved. Now, a lot of those conditions don't meet the threshold of this, where it's a specific ordinance requirement on the specific type of installation, and maybe there's a little more flexibility to work with an applicant. In this case, we didn't have a choice. To Matt's point, this is an ordinance requirement flat out, so staff had no flexibility in addressing it. But there was an approved set of plans, and this particular structure was shown to be a baffle wall structure on the approved set, and a different structure was there along the lines that happened. We just don't know. It wasn't, we weren't made aware of it until the Park District brought it to our attention. The motive.
All right. Well, I think because of all of that, I think we put more restriction on it just to protect the village. I mean, what we do here, and that is, you know, we have guidance and an ordinance. Is there any restriction? I mean, maybe go through that one more time. So the possibility that we...
I sort of like my language, and I don't know that I could repeat it. We have a recording of it, and if the other trustees listen to it and you thought that summarized, then I would say to amend the motion to take that language. We can find it and get it and put it in, if that's okay, because I think I hit it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. All right. So based on somebody listening to the audio and coming back with the
Well, I mean, I could try to say it again, but I think I got it. I got all the points. And again, by making it a condition, it could be revoked, you know, if it were an extraordinary case.
Everyone good with that? Yep. All right. So I've asked.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks, Mike. Thank you. All right. So we'll move on to motion to move in.
I move to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C11 and 5 ILCS 120/2C1 to discuss pending litigation and the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the village, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Great. Meeting adjourned.